A new report the National Research Council published a few weeks back warned that the Defense Department has some significant blind spots when it comes to its ability to assess what's going on in the global technology landscape, especially in the commercial and non-defense markets. DoD officials are keenly aware of the problem, and there's a nascent effort underway to help solve it. The new Technology Domain Awareness Initiative is a project of DoD's Information Analysis Centers. Its goal is to help build defense capabilities more quickly by building a bridge between the commercial marketplace and the traditional DoD acquisition system. On today's Pentagon Solutions, we'll talk about the new TDA initiative with two guests. Christopher Zember is the director of the Information Analysis Centers, and Jay Harrison is the director of the Center for Smart Defense at West Virginia University, which is helping DoD get the TDA effort off the ground. We'll start our discussion with Christopher Zember, who told me about the initial drive behind TDA.
I think it was actually in an interview with you that Frank Kendall back in April mentioned that Better Buying Power 3.0 will focus on innovation. And of course, when the Secretary, Chuck Hagel, talked about the FY15 budget, he mentioned back in February that innovation is needed in order to preserve the U.S.'s technological edge. We've seen certainly a proliferation of reports recently, including, you know, last month with former Deputy Secretary Bill Lynn, with the Center for New American Security study that advised global defense companies should import and adapt more commercial technology into military weapons of the future. So we're seeing this certainly recently. The IACs have been tracking this trend for a while, and the trend is essentially that, you know, defense-relevant capabilities are increasingly being developed in the commercial and other non-traditional defense markets. And DoD's role in these markets is not as the sole or even the largest buyers. And often what we're seeing is that companies in these markets aren't targeting defense applications to their technologies. But that said, there are certainly relevant applications of their technologies in the defense sector. And certainly information communications technologies, energy technologies are the easiest for, I think, for folks to understand where commercial technologies can very easily cross over and apply in a dual-use context for defense applications. So back in September of last year, we actually sponsored a study through my office under the guidance of the Assistant Secretary for Research and Engineering, Al Schaefer, and the study is being conducted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS. And we asked them to explore specific steps that DoD can take to anticipate new and emerging technology innovations and then incorporate these innovations into defense capabilities. And so as CSIS has been conducting this study, we've gotten regular updates from them. The final study will be coming out in the September-October timeframe of this year. But what we've essentially seen is that the question is, how can the DoD effectively acquire military capability in markets that really aren't tailored to its needs? And so in tracking the types of information that CSIS has been collecting, we've established the IX Technology Domain Awareness Initiative. And with TDA, what we're looking at is gaining an effective understanding of the technology landscape as it relates to current and future defense capability needs. So through that, putting the IACs as the focal point for harvesting innovations from the commercial and non-defense marketplace.
And it seems like one of the obvious challenges there is these non-traditional innovators aren't building, as you said, are not building systems or technologies with DoD in mind. So almost whatever you take out of that space is going to require some adaptation to turn it into a weapon system or incorporate it into a weapon system, right?
So that's absolutely correct. Although what we want to do is expand awareness on both sides. And it's really not only about expanding awareness within the Defense Department about these commercial technologies, but also expanding awareness within those commercial markets about what defense, not just the technology needs are, but what the problems are that DoD is facing. And that's something that we've really focused on within technology domain awareness. Last year, we started one of the new initiatives within the IACs in embedding IAC field representatives out in the combatant commands. And the reason we did that is because we wanted to increase the proximity between the solution set, which is really represented by the IACs, to the problem set, which is really represented first and foremost by the COCOMs. And by bringing those two together, we certainly create more opportunities for innovation, bringing the solution set and the problem set more closely together.
I know it's early days, but in the real world, what is the technology domain awareness initiative going to look like? Is it going to be a common database that both industry and DoD components can look into to see what each other is doing? How do you imagine it actually operating?
So let me ask Jay to actually speak to the specifics of that.
Sure. Go ahead, Jay.
Sure. So the way we envision this thing being stood up is a combination of different mechanisms where industry and academia can engage with DoD. It's not sufficient to create yet another database full of information that nobody can find what they're looking for. So what we're looking at doing is creating a number of facilitated opportunities for industry to, in fact, participate with DoD stakeholders in the collaborative identification of problems, as well as the design of potential technology-based solutions to address those problems. So we've got a number of partners, both in industry and academia, who regularly engage in conferences and various real-life, offline-type experiences that bring together different groups of stakeholders to focus on different technology-related problems. That is the type of facilitated engagement opportunity that we envision putting together. In addition to that, in order for this to truly be scalable, there does have to be an online component to it. So we're leveraging data that's been collected across multiple Department of Defense innovation organizations over the course of the last decade plus. We're analyzing that information to identify new opportunities where commercially derived technologies or technologies derived from academia can be applied to fill the gaps, and that information is made available to various industry stakeholders through its knowledge management system platform based on the existing IAX information technology system.
And so as we've talked a little bit about this, this is not only a universe of innovators that is outside the group of usual suspects when it comes to defense contracting. It's also a global supply base. So Jay, you want to talk a little bit more about the process that you imagine of first discovering those innovators around the world and then reaching out to them to communicate DoD's needs to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's fairly novel about what we're trying to accomplish is that in order for this to really be scalable, we as DoD or DoD partners can't be responsible for identifying every gem in the commercial marketplace or academia with some relevance to DoD. For us, it's about creating incentives. What are the incentives that would motivate an international technology company to want to make their innovation known to the defense marketplace or a defense stakeholder? And conversely, if I'm an operational end user within DoD, what's the incentive after my 14-day workday to get on a system like this to make my problem visible to the universe of stakeholders who may offer a potential solution? So we want to facilitate direct interaction as much as we do go out and cherry-pick things on our own. We simply don't have the resources to create a 1,000-person organization that's identifying every good piece of technology that may be relevant to defense.
Absolutely. So have you come to any good conclusions yet about what those incentives might look like?
Well, I will say this, that the big part of the early effort that we're focused on right now is, in fact, identifying what those incentives look like. And we've engaged heavily with Silicon Valley, looking at the startup ecosystem. And surprisingly or not surprisingly, depending upon how knowledgeable you are of the startup world, these folks aren't necessarily motivated by the economics of creating a new market for their technology. If I'm a venture-backed startup in Silicon Valley, the margins in defense really aren't that great. And my objective is not to develop a customer in DoD, but I may have other incentives, like, for instance, the Department of Defense cherry picks some of the best technologies in the world. Getting a DoD customer may have a powerful marketing incentive in terms of helping me open up broader opportunities in the commercial marketplace or the consumer marketplace. Or I may be interested in test and evaluation through the DoD's process. That may be of interest to me. So it's not purely economic. There are other other factors at play here that we are keen to bring to the mix.
One other point that I would add to that as well is this focus on bringing together and exposing problem sets. I was actually having a conversation with one of those technologists from the commercial sector over the weekend, and when I was describing what we were doing, when I mentioned that we were tracking not only solutions, but we were actually trying to map what those problems were across DoD, I could literally saw a smile break on his face, and I think he started to twitch a little bit. He was super excited about what those were. That's what gets them up in the morning, understanding what those hard problems are. And when it comes to hard problems, or a term that actually was introduced back in the 70s, wicked problems, and I think I've started to see it come back to use again, those problems that are interconnected, that are very difficult to solve, where when you try to solve one piece of it, you exacerbate the other parts of the problem. Those wicked problems, we're ripe with those in DoD. And so that's certainly an opportunity that's very exciting to folks in commercial markets.
Christopher, let me stick with you for a minute. You and I have talked at length about the Information Analysis Centers, the program that you manage. So this Technology Domain Awareness Initiative is going to be built within the context of those IACs and within that structure. Talk a little bit about why the IACs are the right place to do this within DoD.
Yeah, so as we've talked about before, Jared, the IACs are really focused for our decades of history on technology reuse and information sharing. And what's fundamental and what's been fundamental to the IACs from the very beginning is building on a foundation of knowledge, bringing in not folks that are administratively collecting information and promoting that information from an administrative point of view, but actual technologists, subject matter experts that we've brought out of government, that we've brought out of industry, that we've brought out of academia, that we've networked throughout those organizations in order to collect the information, track the trends, and then track the solution space as well as the problem space. And so the IACs have been doing that for a long time. We've mostly been focusing, admittedly, on what we would call inside innovation. Where is DoD spending its money, whether that's the actual O&M money that's going towards the systems, whether it's the RDT&E money that's going towards developing these systems, whether it's the money that we're reimbursing for IR&D expenditures, which I would still consider to be inside innovation, whether it's the new technologies that are being developed in the labs or on government contracts. All of that we would categorize as inside innovation, and that's largely what we've been focused on within the IACs. In looking at where the trends are in the future, we've recognized that we need to move our vision towards what we're calling outside innovation. Companies that, again, are not targeting defense applications necessarily, and investments that are coming from outside of DoD dollars, and how can we transition those technologies into defense capabilities. And so the IACs, being by our design an organization focused on building those relationships across government, industry, and academia, and staffed with subject matter experts that understand the nature of the problem sets and understand the art of the possible in terms of the solution space, really makes the IACs the right place to see this type of an initiative for the department.
And it seems to me that in order for technology domain awareness to work the way that you guys are hoping it will, you need a critical mass of both industry participants coming in and having the right incentives, as we talked about before, and people on the DoD side who will come and bring their diverse needs into this ecosystem. Have you thought through much how to create those incentives on the government side and make sure that there's a constant inflow of you know, demands for new technology and a refresh of what individual components of the department actually want and need?
We have absolutely thought about that, and I think it goes back to one of the fundamental mantras of the IACs, which is that information is very unique as a commodity in that the more you use it, the more it increases in value. So certainly within the IACs, we've built a network of $2 billion worth of requirement space a year that's flowing through the existing IAC contract vehicles. That certainly is an important place to start and really represents that critical mass that the IACs bring. And I think, again, another reason why the IACs are the right place to seat this initiative for the department. It allows us to go out to our existing customers who understand the value of the information and the expertise that the IACs provide, and allows us to map the solutions to their problems. What we've done so far is, in many cases, we've used traditional IAC contract vehicles to access these commercial innovations. But what we've started to do is, through the Technology Domain Awareness Initiative, identify new mechanisms, new vehicles that we can use, such as other transaction authorities, for example, that allows us to even more appropriately directly access these outside innovations and incorporate them into defense capabilities. We've talked mostly so far about the problem of identification, but we've also started to explore this challenge of incorporating these technologies and actually accessing these technologies. And OTAs, in addition to the existing IAC vehicles, are a good complement to allow us to even better do that.
So speaking from the I'll call it the partnership side of the TDA equation, one of the things that we're focused on right now is outreach to members of industry and institutions that don't normally transact with DOD. So to that end, we're seeking communities of interest that already exist that may have some relevance or desire to leverage a relationship with the Department of Defense, and we want to build on those. So rather than going out and creating our own ecosystem, we're seeking opportunities to aggregate a lot of communities that already exist within the Department of Defense as well as outside of the Department of Defense and bring those groups together for creative problem solving.
And Jay,
we've seen in this that what we started to call islands of innovation, isolated organizations, small scale efforts that are going on across the department. Frankly, I've been somewhat shocked to uncover as many as we have, and I'm sure there are many more that we haven't yet found. What we want to do is not replace those, but through the Technology Domain Awareness Initiative, and again, consistent with the IAC mechanism, the IAC business model, is network those together, bring them together, leverage the power of those individual islands to create an ecosystem that actually is scalable across the department.
In the universe of innovation out there outside the traditional defense marketplace, I imagine there's tons of companies who just have never seriously thought about doing business with the military. But is it your sense that there's also at least some significant subset out there that has been clamoring to do business with DOD, but the barriers to entry up to this point have just been too high and nobody's actually gone and pursued them?
Yeah, honestly, that's the overwhelming feedback that we receive is that, first of all, the requirements are so opaque. It's very difficult for a small business with limited resources to allocate dollars against building something for a market that you really don't understand particularly well or really have the opportunity to engage the customers in the kind of dialogue that you would really want in order to optimize an offering. I will say that not all the time is that incentive purely economic. So a lot of the startup businesses with the most innovative technologies are well funded. So what they're looking for in many cases is something else. Identifying what those motivators and drivers are for them to participate is really the thing that I think spells out success or failure for this initiative. But so far, the feedback we're getting is almost across the board, yes, we want to participate, and these are the type of things that we're looking for in order to be a full partner with DOD.
Christopher, let me go back to you. Let's talk a little bit about progress of the technology domain awareness effort so far. I know we're just getting off the ground, but what is happening specifically in the early stages, and what specifically are you working on next?
Yep. So within technology domain awareness, in terms of identification and access, we're looking at both the problem sets, the technology opportunities, as well as lessons learned. And so we're starting first and foremost with the lessons learned. There's a lot of money that's been spent on rapid acquisition initiatives over the past decade. We're working in partnership with the Army's Rapid Equipping Force to ensure that we have good tracking on both those technologies that have been fielded, the operator feedback on those technologies, as well as other technologies that were evaluated by the REF but were not fielded and might have application in other environments. For example, we've talked with our partners over in PACOM about the rebalance to the Pacific and the opportunities that are certainly represented by that in finding successful uses for technologies that might not have had applications over in the CENTCOM arena. We're also working very closely with JIDO, looking at the tens of billions of dollars that have been invested in counter-IED solutions over the past decade, and ensuring that we can track the reports that were written, the data that was collected, and the tools that were developed, and ensure that those tools are available. We have one example of a tool that we've actually been able to take and apply in a cross-domain perspective, a tool that was developed for a counter-IED use, but based on its C4ISR capability, actually has application for spectrum management. And so we've repurposed that tool as a spectrum management tool that we're using within the services. And literally, it's been for five figures, for less than $10,000. that we've been able to repurpose this tool. So really leveraging those tens of billions of dollars that have been invested, ensuring that we have good information on the technologies that we've explored and how we've used those technologies, and I think very importantly, the operator feedback on those technologies. We've also, as I was mentioning, established other transaction authority vehicles. So we're in the process of working with the Army's contracting command as a networked organization, the IX reach to the Air Force outside of DOD as well as into the Army to support our contracting requirements. And we're actually about to have our first industry day for an other transaction authority vehicle focused on energy technologies. Working very closely with the services, the Navy has stepped forward as a great champion for the need to identify commercial technologies in the energy space to apply to Navy requirements. And so we're moving forward with that. We have three other OTA vehicles focused on cybersecurity, one focused on defense systems, and the other one focused on homeland defense and security, aligning with the existing IAC focus areas that we'll be moving into next.
Let me circle back to a point you made just a minute ago, because I want to make sure we don't gloss over it. You know, there's a lot of hand-wringing about DOD's inability to go and access commercial technologies from commercial markets. But it sounds like a big part of what you're doing is trying to make sure that DOD accesses the technology it has already developed internally, and then that knowledge doesn't get forgotten and go by the wayside and people go reinvent the wheel again.
That's absolutely right. We wanted to start with that, and I think that's very important. And this isn't simply a mechanism for us to access these outside innovations, but it's really a comprehensive mechanism to access and track inside innovation as well as outside innovation. Where has DOD invested money? We've invested a lot of money over the last decade. We've had a lot of lessons learned from those technology applications, certainly internally from our acquisition process as well as from the folks that have used those technologies. And we need to make sure we owe it to those that have served over the last 10 years and those that have invested in these technologies in more ways than just the dollars that we've put towards them to make sure that we make the most of those investments.
So I know one of the concepts that you guys are basing this around is the idea that there is a defense innovation base, which is distinct from the notion of a defense industrial base. Talk about the difference between those two things and how it kind of guides what you're doing.
Yeah, so as we've heard from DOD senior leadership, the department really needs to change the way we acquire defense capability given the changing dynamics in the global technology market. And one of those changes that we certainly see from this perspective and we're encapsulating in the Technology Domain Awareness Initiative is that shift from a defense innovation base, which is really this focus on a unique group of defense-focused suppliers that are primarily, if not exclusively, engaged in developing capabilities for the defense market, and expanding that to adapt, identify, and adopt more global commercial technologies and what we're calling a defense innovation base, a more dynamic group of organizations that don't have to make the either-or decision of do I want to do business with DOD and the federal government or do I want to do business in commercial markets, but creating the ability to do both and to work in both markets and for the DOD, therefore, to be able to access those technologies from outside of our traditional supplier base.
And to the extent that technology domain awareness and the affiliated activities associated with technology domain awareness are addressing some of the access issues that have historically made it very difficult for commercially or consumer-facing companies to work with DOD, we're actually facilitating the emergence of a defense innovation base. Companies that can opt in at their discretion to opportunities in DOD to support DOD without necessarily having to shape their entire business models around the specific requirements for doing business in a federal acquisition regulation type environment.